Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, that translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast Time, most Mondays through Thursdays. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 59 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy in San Diego, California. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And once again, this is your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We got a good show for you today. Today our topic is NBA Eastern Conference Finals. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global streaming audience. Topics will include, but not limited to, Lakers versus Nuggets, Celtics versus Heat, NHL playoff scores, MLB scores, NCAA men's and women's baseball and softball scores, and NFL breaking news, which right now we don't have a whole lot of because it's basketball finals time. Last night we had a great game, speaking of Lakers and the Nuggets. It was a hell of a game last night. I was able to actually sit down and watch a whole game for once. It's been a minute where I could just really sit back and just focus on the action, the game. Nikola Jokic put on a hell of a show last night against the Lakers. They're saying across the monitor, is Nikola Jokic the best player on the planet? I don't know if he's the best player on the planet. There will be LeBron James currently at this time. I think that LeBron has already passed Michael Jordan with his efforts to get his team back this far, you know, with not having the supporting cast that Michael Jordan had around him. Look at LeBron James taking a lot of role players, bench players and role players, besides AD, who's been constantly hurt. And with the departure of a future Hall of Famer in Russell Westbrook being released from the team, traded, LeBron James is able to take this new crew of, again, role players, bench players, and basically take them all the way to the promised land, to the Western Conference Finals. Only thing he has to do now is get his team past the Denver Nuggets, and which that's very possible that he can do, because last night they almost came back and beat the Nuggets. The Nuggets were on the ropes. They had the Lakers down for the count most of the game, and then they came back and put the Lakers on the ropes. So I mean, it was an exciting game last night for the game one of the Western Conference Finals. So I mean, this is an exciting time right now, everybody. It's just an exciting time if you're a sports fan. The score was yesterday. We had Los Angeles Lakers at Denver Nuggets. Denver 132, Lakers 126. 132-126. Denver takes game one. Nikola Jokic 34 points. I believe he had a triple double last night. And Anthony Davis had a loser's high of 40 points. AD put up 40. The way that game was going, I couldn't even tell that AD put up a 40. There was a quiet 40 point performance from him. And maybe it's just because Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray played so lights out along with their supporting cast. I didn't even know that Davis had put up 40. His 40 points seemed more like a 20-some point game because just the way that Jokic played. They made some adjustments by switching Rui Hachimura onto Nikola Jokic, and then Anthony Davis was able to move around and play some defense on guys like Jamal Murray, Brown, and KCP, you know, all these different players. They had to get Anthony Davis out there and play some defense, help LeBron James on the defensive side of the ball. That was a hell of a game last night, people. I meant to tell you, that was a hell of a game last night. Tonight we got the Celtics versus the Heat. We got playoff Jimmy, or Jimmy Buckets, whatever you want to call him, Jimmy Butler versus Tatum and Brown with the Celtics. We'll have a battle, Heat versus Celtics. That's always a good one. Always a grinded out type of game. And it's going to be a grinded out type of series. Grinded out game, grinded out type of series. I don't think it's going to have the Hollywood glitz and glamour that the Lakers are bringing in this series against the Nuggets. Most of the time, the Nuggets were kind of like a disregarded team. Even when they make the playoffs, they're kind of like a disregarded type of team. But at the end of the day, the Denver Nuggets are there, but it's glitz and glamour because Hollywood's involved. When you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you got the Celtics and you got the Heat. South Beach ain't Hollywood. So, I mean, it's a little bit different, but it's going to be a grinded out. This is going to, the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be a blue-collar type series. It's a blue-collar, grinded out series. A lot of defense. I expect a lot of defense in this game. Being the fact you got the former Defensive Player of the Year playing on the with the Celtics, I believe that's Smart. He's going to bring it. Tatum's going to bring it. Brown's going to bring it. And on the other side of that coin, Jimmy Butler, you know he's going to bring it. Jimmy's probably looking at 40 points tonight. Tatum and Brown combined going to put up about 40. It's going to be a heck of a grinded out game. It's going to be the type of game it was last night with the Lakers and the Nuggets. But the problem is it's going to be more defense in that game. I don't think that game will be as high scoring. Let me say it like that. I don't think the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be as high scoring as the Western Conference Finals game one was last night. I think game one in the East will be a grinded out defensive battle and things of that nature. It's going to be a grinded out game, but I look forward to Jimmy Butler having a good game. I look forward to at least 25 points between, you know, per player for Tatum and per player for Tatum and Brown. They'll put up together, they'll combine for 40 or 50, and Jimmy Butler, he's good for 40 points tonight. But you never know about Jimmy. He might come up with another 56-point performance. We'll see. Good times right now. I love the NBA finals, and we got caliber teams. We got caliber teams. The number one seed is still here facing the number seven seed. That ain't supposed to be there, but this is a LeBron James-led number seven-seeded team. We got the Heat, who were, I think, an eight seed. They wasn't even supposed to be there. They got through the playoff tournament. They got there, and they're playing a number in the East. What were they? No, a number two seed, I believe. The Celtics were the number two seed, and the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, they were the number one seed. But, I mean, we got these – we got high seeds and low seeds going at it in this finals. That's what makes this matchup so – so exciting. So I'm excited about it. I really enjoyed the game last night. For a minute there, I thought that the altitude, the thin air that they talk about in Denver, where your lungs are burning because you're running up and down the court, the first 5 minutes they say your lungs are burning and you're going to have to start subbing guys out. And I think I did see that right about the 4:56 mark, 4:45 mark, I think I seen Darvin Ham started giving LeBron James and Anthony Davis a blow so they could get their breathing under control, then get them back out there. But I think after you play for a while, you start to settle in. You start to settle in with that thin air and that altitude. You start to settle in, and your body gets adjusted to it, and you play. So the Lakers, the first half, the Lakers were getting destroyed. I thought it was going to be like a 30-point blowout. But every time the Nuggets got about a 20-point lead, the Lakers kept chipping in. They kept chipping in at their lead. They kept chipping in. They kept saying, no, we're just going to keep grinding it out. Bucket per bucket, we're going to just keep grinding it out. Just stay the course. And when they made that adjustment, like I said, when they put Rui Hachimura on Anthony Davis, when they put Hachimura on Jokic, I'm sorry, when they put Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic, they kind of like changed the tide because defensively they were better. And the experts are saying across the monitor, the reason being is because AD was able to get out there and defend and didn't have to worry about holding Jokic. Because him and Jokic, they basically going bucket for bucket. AD actually played some good defense on Jokic. He had a good block on him, and he was able to score. But then every time he scored, Jokic would come right back and score too. That was a hell of a game last night, people. If you didn't see it, you missed it. That was a hell of a game last night. So when you look at it like that, you just have to appreciate the effort that both guys put up in that contest. You gotta, you know, it was like a boxing match, so like a good boxing match where you know, guys are just teeing off on each other. Nobody wanted to go down. But at the end of the day, it has to be a winner and it has to be a loser. There's no draws in basketball. There's no ties in basketball. It has to be a winner. There's no ties in basketball that I know of. Or if it is a tie situation, it's rarely a tie. Usually somebody wins. But you can call me and correct me or debate me on any of this that I'm talking about. Hit area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. Tonight, again, like I said, the big question is going to be, is Jason Tatum going to come in and take over the game when he needs to? The critics are saying that Tatum is too passive aggressive. He's not allowing himself to be that star like LeBron James, like coming in and he can just take a game over when he wants to. He's not like a Jimmy Butler to just say, I'm going to put the team on my back. I'm not willing to let my team lose. They need Jason Tatum to put on that type of performance tonight so he can silence the critics. Because right now the critics are saying that they want to see that the Celtics get broken up. They want to see them get broken up, especially if they don't make it to the NBA Finals. They're saying that Brown should be playing for Jaylen Brown should be playing for somebody else, another team like maybe the Golden State Warriors. Do a trade to bring Brown over to the Warriors and send Wiggins from the Golden State Warriors over to the Celtics. Excuse me, people, I'm coughing on air. I apologize. I got a little dry throat. Allergies going on. You know, weather's changing here in San Diego. Pollen all over the place. But they're saying that they want to see Brown go to the Golden State Warriors, which to me is kind of crazy. I don't think you touch the Boston Celtics. I don't think you touch them. I think you leave them alone. They got Smart. They got Brown. They got Tatum. They got a supporting cast. They got a first-year head coach that basically took over the reins for Coach Udoka. And at the end of the day, he came in, he stepped up. And I think they were saying about the new coach is that his new first-year rookie coach is that he was just an assistant, a lower assistant coach. He wasn't like the next man in line. But however it goes, Ime Udoka, he departed and was released. And now the new coach is can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but it'll come to me. If I'm correct, he has an African name as well, but it'll come to me in a minute. But he's doing a hell of a job coaching that team in the absence of the past coach, because this was Ime Udoka's system. A lot of defense, stuff like that. But this new coach stepped in. The new coach has stepped in and they're basically running the team the same way. They kept the script that works. And he just basically wound this team up and just let them go. And here they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think he's doing a fantastic job, first-year rookie coach. And I hate to have a saying first-year rookie coach in media, because some of these guys have been coaching on these teams or different teams around the country. Like they say that about Darvin Ham, rookie head coach. Darvin Ham got all kind of coaching experience from other teams. Came out the Greg Popovich system, if I'm correct. I think he might have been on the Detroit Pistons winning team when they won the championship, coming off the bench back in what was that, early 2000s, 2003 or so. So I hate when they say, oh, rookie head coach. These guys ain't no rookies. These guys been around the game. They've been around the game for a long, long time. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're not rookies. But anyway, it was a great game yesterday back again with the Western Conference Finals. They were saying across the monitor that LeBron James put up a B+, a C+ performance, because he wasn't really affecting the game like he normally does until the fourth quarter. But that's what I like about LeBron James, because he can just come in and start taking over the game whenever he wants to. He can just come in and start taking over a basketball game whenever he needs to take it over. And that's what they're saying about Brown, is that he's going to have to do that tonight. Across the monitor, the Heat and Celtics. Tonight, 8:30 Eastern, that's 5:30 Pacific. Jimmy Butler on the Heat. This year is our year. Jimmy Butler is saying this year is our year. Chances that the Heat upset the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, I'm not going to go against Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler is one of those, to me, one of those different type of stars. That's one of those stars that's like, he's a star, but he's a quiet star. You don't really hear much of talk about Jimmy until he put on those performances like he did in the last round of play, where he put up that 56-point performance. I mean, against who were they playing? With the Knicks, putting up 50-something points. You know, it's crazy. But I'll say it like this: when Jimmy Butler is on, he's on. He can actually take over a game like LeBron James does, and that's what the critics out there on the monitor in the media, they're saying that they want to see Tatum do that. They say Brown has the ability to do it. He'll put the team on his shoulders and go off, but they want to see Jason Tatum, who was supposed to be the best player on that team. And earlier this year, I think they were given a chance of him being the MVP at one point, but he's going to have to, the critics are saying he's going to have to be able to take over a game when he needs to and put the Boston Celtics on his back versus Jason Tatum. I said versus Brown putting the team on his back. So me myself, as an owner or a general manager or a coach, I would care less who put the team on their back, long as somebody's putting the team on their back, and we come out with a win, and we can get out this series and get to the finals. I wouldn't really care who steps up and takes over a game. I wouldn't break that team up not one bit. I wouldn't even restructure their contracts. I'd leave everything the way it is, because it's working. It's working. But, you know, at the end of the day, us in the media, not myself in particular, but people in the media, some in the media, excluding myself, we're quick to say, hey, break this up. Hey, this guy, he's supposed to be the alpha dog on the team. If he can't be the alpha dog, move some pieces around and let the guy that's being the alpha take the reins, or move the guy that's being the alpha off the roster so the guy that you're paying can go ahead on and take his proper role as the alpha. But I'm here to tell you, you can't make anybody play. You can't make these guys play the way their contract says they should be playing. Sometimes guys get paid and they get lazy, or they don't put that much effort in. You know how it is when you get that check, when you get that bag, you know, hey, I got my bag. I ain't got to break my neck, you know. But I don't think that's Jason Tatum. I don't think that's his issue. I think that he just got his, as they say, Batman and Robin. He got a hell of a Robin. His Robin is damn near Batman. Like, you know, the Clippers, Paul George, PG3, he said that, hey, I'm not a Batman. I'm a support cast. I'm a Robin. I'm not a Batman. Speaking of him and Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi is the Batman, PG3 is the Robin. A lot of people criticize PG3's comment, but I'm like, well, at least he's honest. I mean, because I never really looked at Paul George as being a guy that's going to lead the team unless he had to. But and you could tell the difference. I mean, look at Russell Westbrook when Kawhi went out. Kawhi went out, and then Paul George had already been out. Russell Westbrook stepped up in for the Clippers, and he actually led that team. And those were some close matchups with the Phoenix Suns. It wasn't like they were just getting blowed out the water every game. I think they might have had one game they might have lost by 9 or 12, but that's not bad. And I think there was only one game. The rest of those games are kind of like pretty close down to the wire. And even if they did lose by more, and I'm not remembering right, you can call in and correct me at 515-602-9687. Just put your hand up in queue and I'll come to you. If I come to you, just announce your first and last initial in the state that you're calling from. Because we like to keep everything discreet on the show. If you'd like to call in and debate the host on any of this stuff or anything else you might want to talk about. Going back to my thought, the Clippers were playing close games with the Suns, with the Phoenix Suns when they were in the playoffs before they got put out, led by Russell Westbrook. I'm just speaking of alphas. If you're just tuning in, I'm just speaking of the alpha dog mentality. PG3 admitted that he wasn't an alpha. He said that's pretty much Kawhi Leonard role, to be the alpha dog, the Batman. I'm the Robin. I'm the support cast. When Russell Westbrook had to step up and lead that team, you could tell Russell Westbrook had been the alpha dog on a team, whether it was in Oklahoma City, whether it was in Washington, whether it was in Houston. You could tell that Russell Westbrook had been an alpha dog, a leader. He could be the alpha. He was comfortable being alpha. Some people ain't comfortable being alpha. Going back to the Boston Celtics, when you're talking about Tatum and Brown, Brown is just comfortable taking the game over and being an alpha dog. He could actually go to another team and be the alpha. But why break this tandem up? Why break it up? That's just like when the Golden State Warriors were in their heyday, when they were first coming out, right when Steve Kerr first got there. You know, Klay Thompson could have went somewhere else and been an alpha. But they were smart. They kept Steph Curry right there, kept Klay Thompson right there, and they won a lot of rings. They have four of them. So they got a nice amount of championships. But a lot of times the media wants to say, oh, break these guys up, break them up. Or they'll try to encourage the owner, hey, don't pay both of them. You can stay up on the salary cap and get a bunch of pieces if you let Klay Thompson go somewhere else and just keep Steph and Draymond and the supporting cast and add some pieces. When you're building a dynasty, you can't keep erasing the paper. When you're building a dynasty, you can't keep going and saying, hey, I'm going to erase this paper and start over. I'm going to erase it and start over. That doesn't work when you're trying to build a dynasty. You got to trust your gut. And when you pay these guys, you got to be confident that you're paying them and this thing is going to work. And if it don't work, you just got to add some pieces around it to tweak it and make it work. But to say that, oh, erase everything or crumble up that paper and throw it in the trash can and start over from scratch. No, I don't agree with that. So going back to the Celtics, what I'm saying is that I think that they have the right combination. They got the right combination to win. And when you have the right combination to win, leave it alone. So, you know, I just think that the Boston Celtics, they're where they are for a reason, because the team is well constructed. I think they still got Danny Ainge in the front office. I think they got the former head coach, the one that came out of Butler, Brad Stevens. I think he's still there as team president or whatever, assistant GM, something, whatever he's doing. They got a good team. And I think tonight they're going to put up a good show against the Heat. Again, it's going to be a grinded out game. But Jimmy Butler on the monitor is saying that this is our year. And it could possibly very well be true. You know, you got the stigma of Pat Riley, you know, who was a Laker. And also their coach for a long time. So it's a lot of this stuff, you know, I'm just like, hey, it's going to be a grinded out game tonight. I think it's going to have the same action that we had last night. And maybe even more. Hopefully we get a couple fights, because I know it's going to be a defensive battle, so hopefully we get a couple fights in there, a couple hands getting thrown, a couple bodies getting thrown. Anyway, we're going to go off into our music mix. It's 8:29 a.m., 59 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy here in San Diego, California, and we'll be right back. You've been listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I'm your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning, and we'll be right back. To the Stoke in the Bed Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoke in the Bed Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC. This WBEST time on deck here is 8:39 a.m., and it is 59 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy here in San Diego, California. All right. Let's get off into some other stuff, some other scores and everything. I promised everybody Major League Baseball scores, NHL playoff scores. It is NHL. I apologize to my Dallas Stars for not bringing them up yesterday on the show. I forgot, I got caught up into the Western Conference Finals and this Ja Morant story. We'll touch on some of that in a little bit, but I wanted to say a big shout out to my adopted hockey team all the way from back 1998, the Dallas Stars. They came up big the other night, advancing on to the, I believe, the Western Conference Finals. I forgot who they beat, but they moved on. I think they beat Seattle Kraken, and they moved on. So now they'll be facing the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So big shout out to the Dallas Stars. So we'll see who wins that battle. But again, tonight we're going to have for the NBA, Miami at Boston, 5:30 p.m. Check your monitor for the networks that it'll be playing on. Just check your monitor, check your local listings on the networks they'll be playing on. But it'll be Miami at Boston tonight at 5:30 p.m. Of course, last night the Los Angeles Lakers at Denver. Los Angeles fell to the Denver Nuggets, 132-126. Nikola Jokic, 34 points. Anthony Davis, 40 points. They were just saying on the monitor that Jamal Murray and Jokic had 65 points combined, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James for the Lakers had 66 points combined. See, that's how competitive this matchup is between the Lakers and Denver. And I'm letting you guys know, the Lakers can possibly go back to the finals. They can possibly go back to the finals. Coming in playoff tournament, seventh seed, I mean, that's amazing. And LeBron James, like I said, is not playing with stars right now. He's playing with a lot of role players. Besides AD, everybody else is like a role player. Bench players, role players for other teams that they just collectively brought in there. The general manager, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, they've done a hell of a job making some changes. I think it worked out for everybody, even though I felt like a lot of people were being a little bit hard on Russell Westbrook. But Russell Westbrook landed in a sweet spot. They sent him over to Utah. Utah didn't want him. They got rid of him because they knew that wasn't going to work because of the history of the fans and Russell Westbrook. That wasn't going to work. Dealt him off to the Clippers. And when he got to the Clippers with Paul George, his buddy from Oklahoma City, there he was right at home. He played well with Kawhi and Paul George. He played well with Kawhi, and he played well on his own with the rest of the guys. When the big two got hurt, he led that team himself. And I credit Coach Ty Lue for giving him credit in the final press conference after that game. And like Ty Lue said, you know, when you got your two main stars out, I don't care who you are, you're not going to win. And that's just a fact. When your best two guys are out, it's not going to be a winning organization that year. I mean, it'll be a winning organization, but you're not going to go to the finals. You're only going to go so far. So that's the NBA. Let's get off into some NHL playoff scores and give you the schedule on that for all my people out there that listen to hockey and everything like that. I got to make sure that I get my sound down because for whatever reason, on my monitor, some stuff bleeds in from some of these different platforms. But anyway, we got, what we got? For Thursday, May 18th, we got the Panthers and the Hurricanes. Panthers are going to be playing the Hurricanes 5 p.m. Thursday, May 18th. So that's tomorrow. The Florida Panthers will be taking on the Hurricanes for kicking off the, I believe that's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals for NHL. And let me see when the, let me see about the Golden Knights and see about the Golden Knights and the Stars. So Friday, May 19th, 5:30 p.m., that's Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. East Coast time, the Dallas Stars will be taking on the Golden Knights. So the 5:30 p.m. on Friday, May 19th, the Stars and the Golden Knights are going to go at it for the Western Conference Finals. So that's what we got for hockey. These it's not a whole lot of scores anymore because these leagues are wrapping up for basketball and stuff like that. Let's go and see what we got for what's going on in the NFL. Nothing much. I'm just reading off my monitor. They're saying, talking about how 16 rookie quarterbacks fit with their new NFL teams, who will play in 2023 and who has star potential. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, they had a caller called in yesterday, and he was talking about the Indianapolis Colts. And he was surprised that I thought that the Colts was going to start their rookie quarterback. And I said, well, we're sitting here talking right now. We can't even tell who's in the quarterback room for the Indianapolis Colts. We can't even tell who's in the quarterback room. So that lets you know, we don't even know, since they let Matt Ryan go, he's going into TV now, going to be an analyst on TV, on CBS. Who's the other quarterback that were left to play? I can't even remember. And so when you look at it like that, obviously the guy that they drafted in the first round, the quarterback out of Florida, I think he's definitely going to start. I mean, why would they draft the quarterback in the first round if they weren't planning on starting him? They're just like the Houston Texans. I mean, if you're not planning on starting the guy, why draft him? That's why you get a rookie quarterback in the first round, because you're obviously planning on starting him either at the beginning of the season or at some point in the season. You're going to start this. You're going to start the guy. So that's just my opinion on football. Other stuff in football right now, I'm seeing that Aaron Rodgers, I believe I saw him taking part in the rookie mini camp, kind of like I think I saw him out there. I don't know if he's throwing any balls or whatever, but I think his presence was there. He was physically there, meeting some of the guys, checking out some of the guys. He probably wants that stigma off of him, saying that, well, he didn't want to meet none of the rookies. He kind of arrogant, kind of snooty, don't want to meet with the new rookie class coming in and try to work with them. I don't think there's going to be a problem this year. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come in ready to do what he needs to do and help get those receivers ready and stuff like that, because the Jets already have a great defense. They could have made it to the playoffs easily last year. They just – the quarterback play just put them in some critical positions to where they was, like, needing the help at the end, and that help didn't come. But with a veteran like Aaron Rodgers at the helm, the Jets are going to the playoffs. At least going to the playoffs easily. And who's the best quarterback in that division? Is Rodgers better than Tua? Yes. We don't even know if Tua is going to be able to make it through the season. Move him out the way, but good luck to him. I don't think he should be playing anymore. The Patriots, they got Mac Jones. Decent player, decent guy. And then they got Bailey, whatever his name. I forgot his last name, Bailey somebody, but he's decent. So, but neither one of them are better than they're not better than each other, and they definitely ain't better than Aaron Rodgers. Then we got who else? We got one more team up in that division. I think Buffalo, and then that's going to be the only problem that they may have, Buffalo, because their quarterback, young, strong, he and because he's young and strong, you know, I would say I would give him the edge because he's younger, he's more durable. I'll give him the edge right now, but at the same time, I won't give him the edge and wisdom over Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to still say that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback or one of the best two quarterbacks in that division. So that division is probably either going to go to the Jets or the Bills. If you'd like to call in and debate me on that, please call in to Erico 515-602. I'm sorry, call in to Erico 515-602-9687. Call in to Erico 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call in and talk about what we're talking about or if you got some other stuff that you want to talk about in whatever sports, be it soccer, hockey, whatever, if I don't know much about it, I'll just let you banter on and teach me about it. And it'll be an educational point for everybody. But if you'd like to call in and talk about the NBA Eastern Conference Finals and stuff like the Lakers and the Nuggets, Celtics and the Heat, if you would like to call in and talk about that type of stuff, you can call in and talk about that. And we'll kind of go from there. But let me get off into my baseball scores. My Padres dropped one last night. I know that. I ain't happy about that. I think they've lost in the last six games. They've lost five, I think. But we're going to have the Pirates and the Tigers. They're going to be going at it today. And we got the Twins and the Dodgers. They'll be going at it today. That's the schedule for today. I'll get off into the scores from last night in a minute. We got the Reds against the Rockies today. We got the Diamondbacks going to be going against the Athletics today. We got the Phillies and the Giants going to go at it. The Kansas City Royals and the Padres will be going at it again today at this 1:10 p.m. Pacific time for us. So I definitely got to check that out. Kansas City Royals against the San Diego Padres. Hopefully we can pull one out because we lost by a run last night. We got the Angels and the Orioles going at it today. I'm quite sure my man DC is probably the reason why I can't get him on the phone. He's probably out there getting ready to eat some hot dogs or whatever in the next couple of hours, probably getting ready to get out there and go to the game. We got the Washington Nationals and the Florida Marlins going at it today. We got the New York Yankees and the Blue Jays going at it today. It's a story about that from yesterday. I got to see what's going on with that. There's some kind of controversy with the Yankees and the Blue Jays. I just saw that across the monitor a minute ago. I got to get some more info on what happened there. What else we got for today for baseball? We got the Mariners are going to be going at it with the Red Sox. We got the Tampa Bay Rays going at it with the New York Mets. We got the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals. They'll be going at it today. Atlanta Braves against the Texas Rangers. They'll be going at it today. The Chicago Cubs will be going at it with the Houston Astros. And the Cleveland Guardians will be going at it against the White Sox today. So that's who's going to be playing today. But let me go into my scores and see my scores from yesterday. So I get all the people that's living overseas so they can know what's going on. I like to keep everybody up to date on stuff. If you're living overseas, it's kind of tough to keep up on stuff. Speaking of overseas, I just built my profile on what you call Euro Players. That's a big website for basketball, football, soccer, stuff like that. It's a platform to where somebody like myself, if I want, recruiting players overseas, trying to get players to go play overseas, to bring players back from overseas to play back in the United States for whatever sport, they have a platform that I register for. And I have a profile on there in case I got some free agents out there that's playing at the pro developmental or minor league level that's trying to make some different moves, do some different things in their career. All you have to do is look me up, Ramiro Ferran on europlayers.com. I'm registered up under on there under American football. That's what I use the platform for American football. However, I do all three sports, basketball, baseball, football. Boxing also. I also do boxing. But anyway, our scores from yesterday for Major League Baseball, segueing back to Major League Baseball scores, we had the Baltimore Orioles winners. 7-3 over the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels. So the Orioles over the Angels yesterday, 7-3. We had the Detroit Tigers winners over the Pirates. Detroit Tigers winners 4-0 over the Pirates. we had the Florida Marlins winners over the Washington Nationals, 5-4. Florida Marlins winners, 5-4 over the Washington Nationals. We had the, who was that, New York Yankees winners, 6-3 over the Toronto Blue Jays. New York Yankees winners, 6-3 over the Toronto Blue Jays. And look, I'm trying to see this news story. Judge breaks Maple Leaf with home run. Jermaine ejected. Yankees beat Blue Jays 6-3. Accused by Toronto of cheating, Aaron Judge not only responded with the tie-breaking home run. Okay. So basically what I'm getting is the little bit I got on it is they accused by Toronto of cheating, Aaron Judge done something, and Toronto wasn't happy. So I got to get some more information on that. If you know more about this story than I do, call in and let me know. Maybe he was using a hollow bat or something. Maybe he's using a hollow bat. Maybe he was using some illegal signals or something. I don't know. If you know about that story, call in to 515-602-9687 and share that with us. What else we got in baseball? We got the Red Sox winners, 9-4 over the Seattle Mariners. Boston Red Sox winners, 9-4 over the Mariners. Then we got Tampa Bay Rays winners, 8-5 over the New York Mets. Tampa Bay Rays winners, 8-5 over the New York Mets. We have the Milwaukee Brewers winners, 3-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, Milwaukee Brewers winners, 3-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals. We have Texas Rangers winners, 7-4 over the Atlanta Braves. Texas Rangers winners, 7-4 over the Atlanta Braves. And we have the Houston Astros winners, 7-3 over the Chicago Cubs. Houston Astros winners, 7-3 over the Chicago Cubs. These are all scores from yesterday. People just catching you up if you didn't see the games yesterday. Definitely if you're overseas and can't see this stuff. We have the Chicago White Sox winners, 8-3 over the Cleveland Guardians. The Chicago White Sox winners, 8-3 over the Cleveland Guardians. Then we have Cincinnati Reds winners, 3-1 over the Colorado Rockies. Cincinnati Reds winners, 3-1 over the Colorado Rockies. Then we have the Oakland A's winners, 9-8 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Oakland A's winners, 9-8 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. I didn't know that Oakland was going on and building a stadium in Vegas. Come to find out that 2027, Vegas is going to have a baseball team. So that's going to be good for the sports gambling. You know, Vegas got the Raiders. Then they're going to have who used to be in Oakland. Raiders used to be in Oakland. Now they're getting the baseball team from Oakland. So this is crazy. I wonder if the Davis family has anything to do with them moving. And we have the Kansas City Royals winners, 5-4 over the San Diego Padres. Like I said, we dropped one last night by a run. Perez has 2-run double in Kansas City's 5-run second. Royals beat Padres 5-4. Salvador Perez hit a two-run double in Kansas City, 5-run second. And then, so, you know, those are some of the notes. But the biggest thing is we lost. Kansas City Royals winners, 5-4 over the San Diego Padres. Let's go, Padres. I think we're playing at 1:10 p.m. today. I'll be trying to tune in to that. So hopefully we'll get us a win because we've been on the skid the last couple games. And we have the San Francisco Giants winners, 4-3 over the Philadelphia Phillies. San Francisco Giants winners, 4-3 over the Philadelphia Phillies. We have the Minnesota Twins winners, 5-1 over the L.A. Dodgers. Thanks for doing us a favor. We need the Dodgers to lose. They're in our division. Minnesota Twins winners, 5-1 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Twins took that one. Done us a favor in our division because I don't need anybody in our division winning right now. Let's see who else we got that lost in my division with the National League West. Where we at? I think the Giants might have dropped one. No, Giants won. That ain't good for us. Dodgers lost, we lost, and we got Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's see how they did. I said their score a minute ago. I just want to see in my division how we looking. And Diamondbacks lost, so we just need to win today. We need to win. We need to win today and everybody else to lose. Let's go into some NCAA scores. It's softball season, so I said I was going to get off into some women's scores. If I can find them. Because I know the girls are in, the women are in their super regional. They're in the super regionals. I don't know if we're going to be able to get them, but I'm trying. I'm just trying, looking at my monitor, trying to get some more scores for the I like to include the women and see how they're doing. So, you know, I'm doing my best. So bear with me, everybody. I'm just trying to look up my baseball scores and my stuff like that. So let's see. Here we go. College softball scores. There we go. All right. Let's go into our women's college softball and see if we had anybody playing. No, that's going to be, I don't have any scores, but we do have some matchups. It's a lot of matchups. Looks like we got George Mason against Duke. They'll be going at it on Friday. This is all matchups for Friday. George Mason and Duke, Miami and University of Kentucky. This is all women's softball matchups. I believe they're going into their regionals, super regionals. We got Campbell against Charlotte, Louisville against Indiana, Southern Illinois against Utah, UMBC against Oklahoma State, North Carolina Central against Georgia, Seton Hall against Texas, Notre Dame against Oregon. This is all for Friday for women's softball. Northern Kentucky is going to be matched up against Tennessee. Loyola Marymount against Florida. Some interesting matchups. Nebraska versus Wichita State. Long Island University versus Alabama. I like seeing all these different teams you never really get to see playing against these big teams. I like upsets. Harvard against Arkansas. Grand Canyon University against UCLA. Northern Colorado against Washington. Then we got, on the other side, we got Ole Miss versus Baylor. Then we got Boston University and Virginia Tech. UNC Greensboro against Clemson. This is all for Friday's action. Omaha against Louisiana. Let's go Raging Cajuns, Louisiana Lafayette. Y'all know if you listen to the show, I love everything Louisiana sports and everything San Diego sports if you listen to the show. We got Eastern Illinois against Northwestern. We got Marist against Florida State. This is all the women's super regional in softball. Middle Tennessee against Central Arkansas. Hofstra against Oklahoma. Cal State Fullerton against Auburn. Prairie View A&M against LSU. Let's go Prairie View HBCU. Magnet State against Minnesota. We got South Carolina and University of Central Florida. They'll be going at it. Texas State and Texas A&M will be going at it. Missouri and Cal will be going at it. Long Beach State and Stanford, they're going at it. San Diego State and Liberty. Let's go San Diego State women's softballs. They'll be playing Liberty. So that's what we have for our women's softball NCAA Super Regional. Let's see what else we got here for the men. Just trying to get show some love to my baseball and softball. Let me go to my baseball scores. All right, bear with me, everybody. I'm just trying to get all the matchups. And for tomorrow, Thursday, May 18th, these are all the men's baseball super regionals. And I just want to make sure that we're getting showing everybody some love in sports, because all these college athletes and all these different sports, they're playing hard. I can't do every sport, unfortunately, but I just try to do the mainstream stuff. But I will announce breaking news for other sports like tennis, golf, soccer. It's just the way, unfortunately, just the way the platform is set up. This is we talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we try to cover all the main sports, baseball, basketball, football, hockey. We try to at least get the hockey scores and breaking news, and then when it trickles down from there, some of the less popular sports, popular but less popular sports media-wise, I try to at least get breaking news for soccer, golf, tennis, water polo, whatever you have it, especially when it's college sports. I try to at least announce breaking news. But, you know, life ain't fair for everybody. It's just the way it is. We got a lot of different platforms out here on Blog Talk Radio that specialize in all these different sports. You just have to tune in to their show to get the meat and potatoes, as they say, of the matter. Getting back to my men's baseball super regional scores. Let me get back to that. So our matchup is going to be for tomorrow on Thursday. Campbell against South Carolina Upstate. Campbell against South Carolina Upstate. Notre Dame against Boston College. Michigan against Ohio State. Maryland against Penn State. Virginia Tech against Wake Forest. Pittsburgh against North Carolina State. Indiana against Michigan State. Florida against Kentucky. Florida State against Louisville. UT Martin against Illinois. TCU against Kansas State. What else we got? Missouri against Auburn. And this is all our men's college baseball matchups for the Super Regionals for tomorrow. Arkansas against Vanderbilt. Tennessee against South Carolina. Western Kentucky against Dallas Baptist. That's going to be an interesting one. Dallas Baptist is a baseball school. Oklahoma State against Oklahoma. Oklahoma State against Oklahoma. Oregon against Utah. California against Washington. Stanford against Washington State. On the other side, we got Iowa against Northwestern. Marshall against Coastal Carolina. Virginia against Georgia Tech. Nebraska against Purdue. North Carolina and Clemson, they'll be going at it. LSU and Georgia, let's go LSU Tigers. East Carolina against South Florida. UConn against Creighton. We got my Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns against Southern Miss. Louisiana against Southern Miss, let's go Louisiana Lafayette. We got Rutgers against Minnesota. Texas A&M against Mississippi State. We got Ole Miss against Alabama. Duke against Miami. West Virginia against Texas. Cal State Bakersfield against Baylor. Kansas against Texas Tech. West Carolina versus Oregon. Western Carolina against Oregon State. Western Carolina against Oregon State. We got USC against Arizona. We got, who else we have? UCLA against Arizona State. UCLA against Arizona State. All right, so that's all our men's action for tomorrow for the college baseball men's super regionals. I didn't see any HBCU teams that made this super regional. That's weird. Wow. Interesting. And going back to NBA playoffs for tonight. NBA playoffs for tonight, just going back to my schedule. Tonight we got the Heat and the Celtics going at it, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. The Heat and the Celtics will be going at it tonight. And of course, we know last night. Of course, we know last night that the Los Angeles Lakers fell down to the Denver Nuggets in a tight game, real tight game. We also had the NBA draft lottery yesterday. Had the NBA draft lottery, and I think the Spurs came out on top. They'll be able to get the number one pick. Most experts, most of the media experts, think that they're going to take Gilbert Wembanyama. They're going to take Gilbert Wembanyama, you know, off the top. That's what most of the media experts think. Yeah, so I think we covered everything here today. We got the topics we'll include today. Lakers versus Nuggets, we went over that. Celtics versus the Heat, we went over that. NHL playoff scores, we went over that. MLB, well, we went over NHL playoff pitcher for the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. We went over Major League Baseball scores. We got that in and the schedule for today. NCAA men's and women's baseball and softball scores. We didn't get the scores in because they're starting the super regionals now. So we got them in. I got to do some more investigation on this NCAA men's baseball. We didn't have any, I didn't see any black colleges, HBCU colleges, in the tournament. I did see some for the women for softball. I think I saw two. And then NFL breaking news. We don't have much breaking news right now for the NFL. So, I mean, that's that for that. What else we got here? So I think we pretty much have went over everything that we need to go over. This is a two-hour show, but sometimes when I run out of topics to talk about and I don't have any callers calling in, I just go ahead and shut it down a little bit quicker than I normally do. But before I get out of here, I'm going to do one more station break and then get off and come back and get off into some free agent stuff for pro developmental minor league football players. That's what I specialize in. Currently, that's my specialty, giving guys opportunities that's no more than 2 years removed from their last collegiate contest, giving them opportunities to either try to play overseas or play here in the United States just to get some film somewhere. I try to focus on the U.S. territory because I want players as close to the NFL as possible to get eyes on them. But sometimes players have to go overseas, just like one of my clients, Patrick Isbell. He wound up having to go overseas and get some more film. He was in Germany before, in Frankfurt, Germany, for the Galaxy, and now he's going to be playing for the Tampere Saints over in Finland. So he's going to be going over there getting some film to get back to me so we can try again to get him in the NAL, IFL, or something like that. We got a surprise caller calling in, 5573. When I come to you, just state your first and last initial in the city that you're calling from, which I know who this is. This is my man, DC, calling in from Maryland. DC, before I come to you, I just want to get a quick prediction on tonight's Eastern Conference Final. Your thoughts on the last night's game, and then what the hell happened to the New York Knicks? And also, I even throw in there, is the Baltimore Orioles going to win the game today, and are you going to the game? I thought that's probably where you were. Anyway, good morning, sir. Go ahead. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. I apologize for not being able to make it on other occasions. But first things first, I will not be at the game today, but I know I do have it set to record, and I think the Orioles have been doing well. I'm pretty excited for them. So that's first things first. It's regarding to Miami and the Boston series. Boston's going to win in five. I give Miami a game because of Jimmy Butler is going to win them a game. But in the end, Miami does not have the firepower. And they're going to be close games only because the head coach of Boston is not as good as the coach as Eric Spoelstra. And so because of that, Miami will be able to stick around But in the end, Boston will explode past them because they just have better talent. They're not going to lose to Miami. So Boston will represent the East in the NBA Finals without question.
Oh, okay. Thoughts on last night, AD versus Jokic?
I think Jokic is going to prove how great of a player he really is, and I love his approach. His attitude is I'm obviously he won MVP this year, but you could argue that Jokic shut down at the end of the year because he didn't like the questions of some of his stats, right? Remember there was some controversy that he padded his own stats, particularly with the rebounding. And and so he just kind of shut it down, like, you know what, I don't need to win the MVP again. I've won it two times in a row. I'll shut it down and let Embiid win his, because what I really want is the championship, right? And so Well, but he's won it a lot of times. I mean, Jokic is clearly the best player in the NBA, even though people don't want to admit it, because, you know, he's not who you'd want to be the best player in the NBA, but he is. I mean, you know, he's Serbian, and so, you know, that doesn't bode well for America in the media, right? Because we don't want to hype up a Serbian, right? And he's won it. You know, he won the MVP in 2020 and in 2021, right? So he won it basically the last 2 years outside of this one that Embiid just won, you know. And, I mean, he's just killing it, his career. He's just killing it. And the dude's not even 30. He's only 28 years old. So, I mean, he's just – remember during the All-Star game when they were picking the lineup, and he wasn't even the first guy picked. The reigning MVP, two straight years, he wasn't even the first guy picked. And then, but before LeBron could pick him, he just got up and started walking towards LeBron's side. Remember that? It was crazy. It was like, and he was like, okay, I guess I'm going with Jokic. You know, it was kind of that kind of deal. You know, you're not going to be, you know, three-time all first team NBA. He gets no hype, right? He gets no hype. So I said to say that, you asked me, he's going to show how great he is. You know, we know the Lakers has got a good squad. I mean, you know, when you and I talked earlier in the season, I told you that the way they were constructed was horrible. Westbrook was not the guy. Notice as soon as they got rid of Westbrook, they took off. And even though they didn't play Lonnie Walker as much towards the end of the season as they did in the beginning, when he did play, he won them a game, right? The Lonnie Walker game was clearly the decisive game in that Golden State series.
Right.
That was the decisive game, right? And Lonnie Walker, you know, may play very sparingly going forward, but it don't mean he ain't got no talent, right? So yeah, I surprise me. He's going to outplay AD because he's a better player. AD is more athletic, of course, and AD got talent. Clearly.
He did have 40 points last night.
Yeah, but AD is just not a better player. And then AD is soft as tissue, dude. He's soft as tissue. And Jokic game, the funny thing about Jokic is what makes it, like, Shaq would struggle against Jokic. Right? Shaq was arguably the most dominant center, right, physically. Outside of dude for play for Boston at the most wings of it.
Let me ask you this.
Russell, I'm sorry.
The NBA draft lottery was last night. What do you think is this kid Wembanyama? what do you think this kid Wembanyama, which y'all definitely not gonna be able to do get because y'all went too deep in the playoffs. So, what do you think he gonna do for the Spurs? And is the Spurs with Popovich gonna pick this kid up, or are they gonna get him and trade him for some pieces?
The Spurs with Popovich is gonna get this kid and keep him. That's number one. The Spurs are very good at taking foreign players. If you think about the Spurs as a franchise, how many foreign players have they taken and cultivated throughout Popovich's history?
A lot. Duncan.
You know,
so
like,
many.
Duncan is not American. A lot of people don't know that, but Duncan is not from America. Tony Parker, Ginobili. Like, you go down the list of famous Spurs players. Right? I mean, the guys like Rudy Gay that's from Baltimore, like, they didn't even have great runs in San Antonio, right?
Right.
The only guy that had a great run in San Antonio that was in America, argue for real, was Robinson. Right? David Robinson.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody else on their lineup and their roster that was killing it over the years since Popovich has been there is a foreigner.
And then they had a lot.
Right? Yeah. So he's going to be right at home with the Spurs in that way. And I think for him, media-wise, San Antonio is the best market because it's not really huge media-wise. It's not a city that he's going to get swallowed up in like New York or something like that where it's so much of a culture shock. So he's going to do better there, and he's going to win. They're just going to win. They got young talent there. Popovich is an excellent coach that provides a lot of structure, which young players need when they come in the league because of the off-the-field issues and then having so much money thrown at them at one time. So he's going to do well there. So I don't see the Spurs getting rid of the pick. I see them keeping it. And besides, what could you offer them? You know, unless you traded them Jokic, right? I mean, what could you give the Spurs that would make them arguably give up the next Bill Russell, right?
A hell of a lot of first round picks.
Right, but they've been rebuilding for a while, so you know, I mean, remember they had DeJounte Murray, they had a few other players, right, that they've moved on from. So to me, you know, I don't see them getting rid of a generational talent. So I don't see the Spurs losing that pick at all.
Let's segue over to this Ja Morant situation. Now, this is my take on this Ja Morant situation, which is taking over the even the conference finals. You got a man, young man, who has not committed a mass shooting, young man that has not shot a gun off. It's just showing that he's the legal gun owner in his property, in his car. The club thing, yeah, I get that. Outside of that, though, just with the gun thing, the man has the right to own a firearm. You got senators, politicians, and everybody posing, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, posing with a big gun, Dr. Oz at the gun range. You know, you got all this stuff going on, but why is this Ja Morant thing such a big – why is it such a big deal? Go ahead.
All right, I'm glad you asked. So let me give you a scenario. Let's pretend – that you have a 9-year-old son that lives in Memphis, and he loves basketball, and Ja Morant's his favorite player. And he sees Ja Morant on Instagram jamming to a song that a 9-year-old would like, and he sees him holding a gun looking real cool. And
okay.
So that 9-year-old son of yours, he doesn't live in your house. He lives with one of your baby mamas. I say you pretend you got a baby mama. So he lives with the mother, and the mother lives with an uncle. So let's say that the 9-year-old goes in the uncle's room, pulls his gun out of the drawer, and starts dancing around the house to the same music like Ja Morant. And in the process, accidentally shoots his kid's sister in the head. So now you got a 9-year-old playing with a gun, which you shouldn't be. But you know that happens. Kids get shot with guns all the time from playing with guns. We know it happens, right? particularly in states where guns are legal, like Tennessee. Tennessee, is they're very open to handguns, right? So you got a 9-year-old kid playing with a gun, accidentally goes off and kills his baby sister. And when they interview the 9-year-old, he says, "I just wanted to be like John Morant." That's the problem,
yes.
Right? It kills the image. It's not illegal. What he did, everyone is correct when they say he did nothing illegal. Everyone is correct in that. Everyone is correct when they say, well, what's the problem? The problem is the perception. The other issue here is that we know that the thug life is glorified in some ways in our country. We also know that the thug life is not a very positive life to have. And so you don't want a person associated with an organization that doesn't promote any of that to be connected to that, because then that means by association, the organization is connected. It's just like when you're in the military, you can run for political office. They just tell you not to do it in uniform, because then you're given a perception that the organization supports your campaign, right? When you're in the military and you want to go to a political rally, they tell you go ahead because that's your right as a citizen. Just don't wear your uniform. Same way here. The third thing is the people who make the comments regarding the senators and if he was, not African American, et cetera, and all that. All these kind of comments. My issue with that is you're taking it and changing the context of the issue. If John Morant took pictures of him on a hunting trip and he was standing over some pigs or some deer that he had shot, that's totally different than if you are in your car wilding out. Like, it's two different contexts. If a person's dressed in hunting gear, clearly on a hunting trip, and they're showing off what they did. That's a stir away from owning weapons. But doing it in your car makes it look irresponsible. Right?
Go ahead.
And those perspectives that I brought, can you see how that would work against them and the league?
Well, going to your point about the scenario of a broken home, whether it's a broken home or a two-parent home, I said on the show yesterday, your role model cannot be athletes. When I was growing up, at some point I was in a broken home, but I did have my father in my life all the time.
You can't use yourself in a broken home scenario at all. No, I didn't grow up with both parents
all the time. But the point
that's what I'm saying. You did at some point grow up with both parents. You're not from a broken home. You knew who your father was, and y'all have a relationship. So that doesn't count. You don't count. You might think you do,
okay,
but you don't count.
Okay, let me finish my point. My role model wasn't Michael Jordan in the area I started watching basketball. You know, it wasn't Michael Jordan, and he was the highlight back in the late 80s, 90s. You know, we had the Jordan shoes and all that, but he was never my role model. My father was. That's why I went to the military. I wanted to be like who? My dad. So, okay, even if I don't qualify as a broken home. Now, if I'm in a broken home, sometimes mom is your role model. You know, I think in your case, you shared with me that, you know, you and your mother was close. She showed you how to buy your first home. So, and you're still a homeowner now. So my thing is, the point I'm making is that when you talk about role models, I get how these kids can fall into that, but it's up to the parent. The parent got to be like, you know what? I don't care. I don't like what that guy's doing. Like Michael Wilbon said, he told his kid, "You're not getting the John Morant shoe. I'm not buying them for you because I don't like the message that he's putting out right now." But like I said yesterday, this is my biggest thing. I said I can't condemn the guy because he has not broken the law. But from the NBA standpoint, I do see what Adam Silver is saying, and like I said yesterday, if the NBA is affording you to live a certain lifestyle and they're paying you accordingly to that lifestyle, I think that you have to respect what the NBA is asking you to do. That is like, I'm not condoning what he's doing, and I'm not totally against it as far as legally, but in the middle of it, I can see that even though he's not breaking any law, I understand what Adam Silver is saying, that we asked you not to do something. So if we asked you not to do this, you should have enough respect not to, because we don't want guns associated with the NBA. So I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, and I agree with Adam Silver, and I'm saying to the people who argue that, you know, what are you talking about? Listen, he's a part of an organization. You have to, when you agree to be a part of an organization, you agree to follow the rules of that organization. You agree. If you don't want to be in that organization, then leave the organization. And so, yeah, he has a duty to the organization. They call it for the NFL. They refer to it as protecting the shield. But, yeah, it's true, right? And so no one player is above the league, right? In NFL, NBA, baseball, it's been proven time and time again, no one player is above the league. And people think that they are. They think because they're the new hot thing. No, not you, right? And so, you know, he thinks he's untouchable. He's not, right?
Is that a strong suggestion from Adam Silver, or is this as far as contract-wise go? Is that in his contract based on image and all this stuff? Is that on paper?
I 1,000% believe that the NBA has that in their contract. I don't believe that every NBA player doesn't understand that how to promote the image of the league. I say that because, for example, remember in the NFL, they had players that they were fining if they at the post game press conference they had on some kind of logo or image that wasn't a part of the league, right? That wasn't league endorsed. And the NFL said, listen, when you go take the podium, have your team gear on or NFL gear. Don't have on some other kind of logo or emblem, right? Because now you're saying you endorse whatever, right? So I cannot believe that the league doesn't have that. I'm sure that's in every NFL and NBA player's contract. I'm sure of it. Because I have a law degree, and I know if I was making a contract to protect an organization, I would have that in there. So I'm sure that's part of the contract, without question.
Right? Let me ask you this, which is why
when a pro athlete does a commercial, they might have on a jersey that's the color of their team jersey, but it don't have any jersey. They don't have any NBA logos or team names, right? So
right.
Because it's like, because then you're saying the NBA endorses Subway or something like that, right? So you'll just see, you know, Steph standing there in blue and yellow clothes or blue and yellow shirt, even a blue and yellow jersey, but it won't have any Golden State Warrior emblem, right?
Yeah. Let me segue over to an NFL question, then I'll close out with a Knicks question. But as far as the NFL, I had a caller call me yesterday, right, from Illinois, and he's an Indiana Colts fan. And he said that this kid that they drafted in the first round from Florida, I forgot the kid's last name, but anyway, you know who I'm talking about, with the big arm.
Richardson
kind of plays like Cam Newton. And I told the guys they're going to start him this year. And he was like, no, man, I hope they don't do that. I don't think they're going to start him this year, because if they do, they're going to mess him up, but he's going to be a beast moving forward. I asked him the question, who do they have in their quarterback room right now that Matt Ryan has left and going to be on CBS doing broadcasting? I said, who is in the quarterback room? So me and the guy, we couldn't think of who the hell was the backup quarterback or nothing over there. And I said, that's my point. They didn't draft him in the first round to sit him on the bench. He's going to start coming out the gate, in my opinion. And if he don't, by game four, game six, he'll be the starter. What do you think about that?
So I agree, because in their current quarterback room, they have Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson, which is who you guys are talking about, and then Sam Elner. And remember, Elner was the one that they started like three or four games last year, and when they went away from Wentz and all the other stuff they had, right? And,
yeah,
of course, he wasn't overwhelming, but he started. So we already knew they was going to go for a quarterback. But Gardner Minshew has proven that he's only a backup. And remember, he was a flash in the pan with Jacksonville, and then and they moved on, right? So, yeah, Anthony Richardson's the starter. And they may not have named him the starter day one out of respect to Gardner Minshew, but you know for a fact that he's going to outdo Gardner Minshew.
If he's not the starter for
week one, he will be the starter by week four. I agree.
And I said, you know, his arm ain't going to be that great, so they're going to use him like Cam Newton, do a lot of option plays, stuff like that.
Lamar Jackson.
And they got their other running back, Taylor. They're going to be a heavy dose of run game until he can get the ball downfield accurately. Yeah, but what happened with the Knicks, man? I mean, I want to ask you this. I want to give you a couple of days, man, to, you know, mourn and everything. But what happened with the Knicks? Why couldn't they pull a winnable series out? Why couldn't they do it?
You know, first of all, I thank you for giving me a few days to mourn, because I actually needed it. So I appreciate that. And so with that being said, I think the biggest issue here, Tom Thibodeau failed to make the correct adjustments. And to me, I feel like he deserves to be fired, but I know the team is not going to fire him yet. I feel like he's going to get one more year, and then they're going to fire him. I think the argument is Thibodeau showed that he can't make adjustments because he got out-coached by Spoelstra. The Knicks only lost because Spoelstra outcoached him. Just really quickly, then I'm gonna let you, I know you got a time constraint, but really quickly, okay. When Jimmy Butler was sit down, in the second quarter, when he would take his rest, the Knicks, that was their chance to always take the lead if they were behind, and there would be 6 minutes where the Knicks would not take the lead. Or if they had the lead, they gave up the lead. Like in game six, they gave up the lead when Jimmy Butler sat down. And the reason was because Thibodeau went to four players on the court that wasn't shooters, and then he only had one scorer on the court, which was R.J. Barrett. And okay. So what Miami did was they went to a zone. Well, everybody knows that when a basketball team go on a zone defense, the way to get them out of a zone is to shoot jump shots. But that was the point. Eric Spoelstra went to a zone because he knew the Knicks didn't have anybody on the floor that would kill you from the outside. So you got Fournier on the bench, who's a clear shooter, right? You don't bring him in again, right? So you could have brought Fournier in. They have another guy named Grimes. They could have brought him in. You could have brought those two shooters in. And then just shoot him out of the zone. But they never played Fournier. He never played Fournier. And I get the argument that he fell out of the rotation. But when you're in a game and a season-ending scenario, all hands on deck. So if you're on the roster, you're subject to play. So play him. He didn't play him. You know, he went with younger talent when he could have went with some veterans. I thought Derrick Rose should have been the backup at times instead of when you needed Brunson to take a break, you should have brought in Derrick Rose. Emmanuel Quickly was a forerunner for Sixth Man of the Year, but in the playoffs, he didn't show up. But you know why? Because he's a young player, and he couldn't respond to the moment. Okay, that's fine. So bring in Derrick Rose. You got him sitting on the bench, right? Derrick Rose, sure, he's suspect offensively. But you know, because he's Derrick Rose, he brings the threat offensively, right? So you bring him in at least to run the offense, because he's a traditional point guard, to at least run the offense. And if all Derrick Rose is put somebody else in position to be, right, you're not expecting Derrick Rose to give you 20 minutes a game and carry you like Brunson. But you could have brought him in when Brunson needed a blow. So, again, this was a coach not using all of his talent available when he could have. I thought when he went small, he should have played Obi Toppin. If you want to leave Julius Randle out there, that's fine. Julius Randle got manhandled in this series by Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo outbullied Julius Randle at his own game. Because Bam Adebayo is bigger. Like, you know, I'm not talking about height-wise. I'm talking about girth-wise. He's bigger. Julius Randle could not bowl Bam Adebayo around. That's part of Julius Randle's game, the out-physical people. He couldn't out-physical Bam. Bam just didn't move. Julius Randle tried to bump him. Bam didn't move. So he was like, oh, wow. And it frustrated Randle. I also felt like he didn't put Randle in position. He should have ran a pick and roll with Randle and Brunson, which would have then forced Miami to adjust defense. Instead, he ran a pick and roll with Mitchell Robinson and Brunson, which meant the on the pick and roll defense, Miami doubled Brunson. They left Mitchell Robinson wide open. Why? Because they're not afraid of him being a shooter. In fact, they showed how much they're not afraid of Mitchell Robinson when they did the hack a shack on him, right? So it was like, you know what I mean? So you knew, I'm supposed to let you know as a coach what he thought of your team, like who your weapons were, and he figured out a way to minimize your weapons. So as a coach, you got to make adjustments. That's the thing with pro coaching. A lot of these coaches, they want players that, quote, fit their system. You know, you're not a good coach if that's what you need. You're a good coach when you get the best out of your players. You and I know that Reggie Miller and Allen Houston were great jump shooters, but they weren't ball handlers. Right? Kobe is the guy. Kobe could bring the ball up, initiate the offense, and shoot the jump shot and go to the rim. Right? Kobe could do it all. Allen Houston and Reggie Miller were not bringing the ball up, calling out a play, crossing somebody over, and then going to the hole. That wasn't their game. They were jump shooters. They needed somebody to bring the ball up, and then they could come off a screen and hit a jump shot. That's their game. I'm saying, so as a coach, if you were to give Reggie Miller the ball, say, Reggie, bring the ball up and call a play out, that Reggie Miller's not going to be successful with that if you make him do that 8 times in a game, right? And he can do it every now and again on a transition, but that's not his game, right? Same thing with Allen Houston. That's not his game, right? So as a coach, if you make a player do something that's not his skill set, you're a poor coach. It isn't the player, it's you, because you're not working with his strengths, right? So if you wanted to use Randle as your leader because he was a third-team All-NBA or whatever it was, positioned the way he can use his skills. Randle's not a three-point shooter, but he swears he's a three-point shooter. That's not his game. Right, he can hit the three-point shot, but that's not his game, right? And so you never put him in a position, you never ran plays for him so he could get off and consistently, and that was the problem. So that's why Miami should not have made it past the Knicks. And I'm not saying this as a Knicks fan. I'm saying this as New York was the better talented team from 1 to 15. Right, and then when Tyler Hero was out, there's no way Miami should have won that series, and not even in six. There's no way they should have won it. Right, New York destroyed them in the regular season for a reason. Right, they just were a better team, but they lost because of poor coaching. Right, and so I'm saying that while Boston is coach is a rookie and he's been making mistakes so far. he's got enough talent to overcome it. Miami has doesn't have the talent Boston has 1 through 15. You know, whatever Jimmy Butler does, Jason Tatum fixes, right? Marcus Smart can outplay the point guard for Miami, the guy that Lowry, right? Marcus Smart can count a Lowry, right? Bam Adebayo can be counted by old boy from Trinidad the center for Boston, right? And then all of Boston's pieces are better. All the Williams boys, Malcolm Brogdon, right? Like any one of those guys they're not afraid to take the shot. And then Jaylen Brown. Miami has nobody for Jaylen Brown. Nobody. They don't have anybody defensively that can cover Jaylen Brown. Not a single soul. If you force that guy to be the guy that carries Boston, he will absolutely do that.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your take, man, on all that, getting us all caught up on all things related. Thank you for coming in to the show, calling in and everything like that. I'm going to do a wrap-up on this here, but we'll get you back on this sometime next week.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem, man. Again, my schedule don't always mix with the time zone, but I'm always happy to pop on when I can.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I'm just getting my sea legs back under me, getting this show back on and popping. Had a lot of other things going on, the other business ventures and everything like that that kind of took me away from the mic. But we back on deck, and we'll get you back on here next time.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks now.
Yeah.
All right, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stoke of the Mirror Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Our topic for today was NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And we talked about the Celtics, the Heat, the L.A. Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets last night, got through our Major League Baseball scores and schedule, our hockey schedule, our softball super regional, baseball super regional for NCAA men's and women's sports. So we got through everything we needed to get through. I'll throw out here for boxing, all you boxing fans out there, we got Devin Haney and Vasily Lomachenko this weekend on pay-per-view, Haney versus Lomachenko. I think Haney going to dominate Lomachenko. I don't think he has a chance because the guy that beat Teofimo Lopez, which is George Cambozo, he got dominated by doggone Devin. He got dominated by Devin Haney. And then as far as Lomachenko fighting Teofimo Lopez, it was a one-sided fight. Neither fighter really did much, but Lomachenko was afraid to open up because of Teofimo Lopez's speed. Lopez got knocked out by Cambozo, if I'm correct, and Cambozo and Devin Haney fought two times, and Haney dominated him both times. And he's going to dominate Vasily Lomachenko because I think he's going to be too a little bit too big and a little bit too long. And all that stuff that Lomachenko was able to do at lower weights and with lower caliber fighters, he's just not going to be able to do that with Devin Haney. Devin Haney's going to dominate him. He's not going to knock him out, but he's going to definitely dominate him. I won't rule out a knockout, but I do see a 10-round total domination like he did with George Cambozo. That's the only person that can even deal with Haney is going to either be Shakur Stevenson or Tank Davis. Those are the three guys right there. But anyway, that being said, I want to remind everybody to be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Make sure you get your flu shots, your COVID boosters, and all that good stuff. Watch your contact. Keep your hand sanitizer on you because they still got that MPOX stuff going around, if I'm correct. For us older folks, get your RSV vaccinations as well. That's some new respiratory virus going around for us people that are right about, 48, 50 years old and above. Get your vaccinations for that. I need to go and check to see if I need to get mine. Pray for peace around the world that all these wars stop. that definitely in Ukraine, and I think they still got this war going on over in Palestine. Also, pray that all these mass shootings stop. Pray that legislature gets passed to check people's mental stability. We just had another shooting yesterday, I believe, where they were saying some person had a gun legally, but he had mental health issues that was not checked for, and he was able to purchase a gun, and he went out and shot some people up yesterday. This gun stuff is getting out of control, so pray for our leaders in the Senate, in the Congress, and all that stuff. Pray for our leaders that they make the right choices when it comes down to gun control, when it comes down to mental status of our citizens and safety of our citizens. With that being said, this has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I want to thank my man DC from Baltimore, Maryland, for coming on and giving us his take on the New York Knicks, giving us his take on the Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals for the NBA, for NBA. And so I just want to say thanks to him for coming on and giving us a good take on everything. For everybody interested right now, they got on the monitor, they got Vasily Lomachenko getting interviewed by the media experts about this fight tomorrow, Haney versus Lomachenko again. It's going to be Saturday, 10 Eastern on ESPN pay-per-view for the Undisputed Lightweight title bout. But anyway, we're going to go ahead on to set black and fade all on the show today, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Stokers and Beer Radio Show can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the East Coast. And we're going back to our normal schedule Monday through Thursday, most Mondays through Thursdays, unless I got something going on. But thanks to everybody that was tuning in today, streaming live, or that will go back and listen to this episode. Thank you. And we're trying to get up to 1,000 episodes, hopefully by anniversary of July 5th. I took a couple months, basically took about 2 months since February, March, and April. I kind of like been out of the loop, but I'm back now full effect. A lot of times you do these shows and due to personal reasons, financial reasons, and at the same time, just listeners, you know, a lack of listenership, you kind of like wonder if you want to keep on doing these type of shows that I do. I know that most people, they want to hear the mainstream media people talking about these sports. They don't really want to hear it from me. But I decided to go ahead and come back because I missed doing it. I was being charged on my credit card for running for time on the show. So I just said, you know what, rather than going in and canceling my subscription to be on Blog Talk and ending the show I had put so much time into, I said I'm just going to go ahead and come back, and whoever listens. Maybe I'll say something and somebody will hear it later, you know, whether it's 10 years from now, whatever the case may be. Maybe somebody may hear something that will help them. As far as my business goes, my business with Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. If you'd like to know how to work with me, if you're a current football free agent no more than 2 years removed from your last college game, and you need help getting on a football team, whether it's here in the States or abroad in Europe, give me a call at 619-655-1581, or just reach out to me on Twitter at Ferran Sports. It's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. Reach out to me, and then I got on my Twitter page, I got my rates posted for consultation and for management services. So if you want to reach out to me, you can reach me like that, or just give me a call or a text. It's 619-655-1581, and that's for if you are a current street free agent that's been, you know, that's trying to play football, American football, and you're no more than 2 years removed from your last college contest, I can offer you my services. With that being said, we're going to set black and fade all. Remember, be love, not hate. Be light, not darkness. Pray for peace around the world. With that being said, have a great day. This has been Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.